Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, three men walk into a pastor's office because they are bothered by a certain question, a question that bothers all of mankind. So they ask the pastor, "Pastor, what must we do to be saved?" The pastor sat down with them and talked with them, and he said, "The answer is simple. Love God, and you will be saved." The three men left the pastor's office excited, rejuvenated in what they were supposed to do. Sometime later, the three men come back. And the first man walks up to the pastor and he says, "Pastor, I have loved God. Ever since I talked with you, I no longer misuse his name. I've been in church every week. I read his word each and every day." And the pastor says, "I'm glad to hear this. But there's one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then you will truly love God." When the man heard this, he left the pastor's office saddened because he was very rich and he couldn't give up his possessions. The second man stepped forward and he said, "Pastor, I have loved God. In fact, I've gone one step further. I have loved my neighbor as myself." The pastor said, "I'm glad to hear this. But do you truly know who your neighbor is? Have you loved your enemies as yourself? Have you shown kindness to those who are not kind to you? Have you prayed for those that have wronged you?" When the man heard this, he left the pastor's office saddened because he hasn't loved his enemies as himself. The third man stepped forward, but he doesn't say a word. So the pastor asks him, "Have you loved God?" And the man said, "No, I haven't. The more and more I've tried to love God, the more and more I see how I have failed. So I simply ask God, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins." And the pastor said, "This is love for God. You are saved and forgiven." Now, this isn't a situation that I have dealt with personally, having three men enter into my office asking me this question. But this situation has happened to Jesus. A rich young ruler thought he loved God, and Jesus told him to sell everything he had and give it to the poor. Another man thought he truly loved his neighbor, but Jesus told him the parable of the Good Samaritan, teaching him that to love your neighbor means to love your enemy. But those that came to Jesus asking for mercy and to be forgiven, these are those that were justified and saved. But why do I even bring all of this up? I bring it up because people can misunderstand the words of Jesus here. When he says, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. This is my command. Love each other." And the people can have the wrong impression of what Jesus says. They can have the wrong progression of love, that they think love starts by loving ourselves. And then we love our neighbor. And by loving our neighbor, we begin to love God and we will be saved. That's the wrong progression of love. The right progression of love does not start with us. It starts with God. Jesus says, "The Father has loved me." Why does God the Father love Jesus? One reason is because Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus once said, "The Father and I are one." So as God the Father is divine, holy, and perfect, so also Jesus, the Son of God, is divine, perfect, and holy. That's why the Father loves Jesus. But that's not the only reason. Not only does the Father love Jesus because he is the Son of God, He also loves Jesus because of what he did as the Son of Man. Jesus came down from heaven and was born of a woman, born under the law. He kept each and every one of God's commandments. He loved God with his whole heart, soul, and mind. He loved his neighbor as himself and always helped people. He even loved his enemies by praying to God to forgive them. This is why the Father loves Jesus. And he publicly declared this from heaven multiple times when he said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So the right progression of love starts with the Father loving Jesus. But now let's suppose that the only thing that Jesus did was to obey God's commandments. Let's suppose that after Jesus kept each and every commandment, he went back up to heaven and he said to us, "Here is the perfect example of love I have set forward for you. If you do what I have done, then you will be saved." If that were the case, then what a miserable, unloving God we would have, for we would not be saved. But here is the next progression of love. God the Father loves Jesus, and now Jesus loves us. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends." Jesus loves us and calls us his friends. But why? We're not perfect and holy divine as he is. We're sinners. We are by nature enemies of God and objects of his wrath. So why would Jesus love us and call us his friends? It's because he has made us. We are his own. We are the crown of his creation. And so when we fell into sin and separate ourselves from God, God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son to be our Savior. And greater love has no one than this, than to lay down your life for your friends. That's what Jesus did. And when he died, he didn't do it only as another example of perfect love for us to follow, that we would be willing to die for those that we love. But when Jesus laid down his life, he did it to remove all of our sins from us. When he laid down his life, he did it so that the Father will always forgive us when we turn to him in repentance. When he laid down his life for us, he did it so that God will always love us and call us his friends. This is why it is so critical to understand the right progression of love. That it starts with God loving Jesus, and Jesus loves us, and now we love God. But think about that for a second. Why do we love God? And before you quickly answer that question by thinking to yourself, "I love God because he has saved me," think about this question. What made you start loving God in the first place? The answer to that question is vital. Because once again, people can have the wrong impression and think that it was because of their choice that they started to love God. And since they have chosen God, they have changed their lives to love one another. But Jesus says here, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." If it were left up to ourselves and our own decision, then we would have never chosen God. It is impossible for us to bring ourselves to faith. But praise be to God that this decision to choose God and to love Him is not up to us. That's God's decision. And since God has chosen us, we have that certainty of salvation. But it can make us wonder, why did God choose me? The answer to that question is not found in us. God did not choose us because He knew that we would believe in Him and love Him so much. God did not choose us because He knew that we would love others and do good things for them. The answer is not found in us. The answer is found in Scripture. Scripture says, He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. Before time ever existed, before you were born, before you ever loved God, before you even loved anyone and did a single thing for them, God chose you. He chose you purely because of His grace, His undeserved love. He chose you because of Christ and what He has done for you. That's the right progression of love. That we love God because He has chosen us. And now, since we love God for everything that He has done, the next progression is for us to love each other. Jesus says, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. God chose us and appointed us to bear fruits of faith and love for each other. And here when Jesus mentions that if we ask the Father anything, He will give that to us. In this context, Jesus is talking about us asking the Father to give us any and every opportunity to show love to one another. Certainly, the Father will not deny that request because He wants us to obey this command. He wants us to love one another. But sadly, it is here that we see we don't keep this simple command to love one another. Think of God's love and what it is like. God's love is self-sacrificing, for Jesus laid down His life for us. God's love is selfless. God's love is not about seeking things from others, but fully and freely giving that love to other people. But that is not the type of love that we perfectly show to one another. The reason for that is because of our sinful nature. And the love of our sinful nature is completely contrary to God and His love. The love of our sinful nature is not self-sacrificing. It is self-uplifting, self-praising. The love of our sinful nature is not selfless. It's completely selfish. The love of our sinful nature is not fully and freely loving one another, but instead, it's all about what can I get from others? Don't we see that sinful love in our own lives? How many times have we done good to others, shown love to them, and we did it simply so that we can say to ourselves, there I go. I did my good deed for the day. Now I feel better about myself. How many times have we honored our parents and those in authority, not because out of love and respect, but because we didn't want to get ourselves into trouble? And when we know that they're not looking, we gladly disobey against them. How many times has our motivation been not to hate others or to hurt or harm them simply because we want them to do good for us? That mentality of, if I scratch their back, they will scratch mine. How many times has our motivation been to defend others and to speak well of them because we want them to speak well of us and to give us praise of how good we think we really are? If that's the love that we show to one another, then it's not love. It is purely sin. And so on the outside, it may seem like we are producing fruits of faith and love for others, but at its core, it is completely rotten because it's not done out of love for one another. It's done out of sinful love for ourselves. And so when we hear these words from Jesus, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. Those words should strike terror and fear and guilt into our hearts. How can we remain God's friends and remain in His love when we haven't obeyed this command to love each other? And this is why I brought up that illustration of the three men at the introduction of the sermon. If we remain God's friends and remain in His love because of what we do, then we will not be saved. But this is God's command. Scripture says God's command is for you to believe in the name of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when we turn to God and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Please have pity on me and forgive me of my sins. The Lord forgives you. He forgives you because of His great love for you. You are now saved. And now, receiving that love and that forgiveness from God, we gladly obey this command of Jesus to love each other. So with one hand, firmly clinging on to God's love and His forgiveness, we reach out the other hand to our neighbor. Not to make ourselves feel better, not to be selfish, not to receive anything, but we do it out of love for our neighbor. We love them because in Christ, God has loved us. We love them to be an example of Christ's love in our lives. We love them with the hope that we reach out to them and connect them to the love of God through what we do. This is the right progression of love that we need to understand. It begins with the Father loving Jesus because He was divine, perfect, and holy. And then Jesus loved us, for He laid down His life for us to save us from our sins. That leads us to love God because He chose us. And then that leads us to love one another, not for selfish, sinful reasons, but because of God's great love for us and love for them. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us love one another, for this will make God's joy and our joy in Him complete. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.